enthroned on the praises of your people. Lord, we agree in unity. This is your house,
Father's love and well.
Oh Lord,
this is your house,
this is your house,
a holy house of prayer,
where the Lord has a longing,
bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house,
this is your house. With grace and mercy, let healing and redemption find searching souls. Lord, have your way.
It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Our scripture reading today comes from Romans 12. 9 through 21, that is Romans 12, 9 through 21. It is titled, Love in Action. Here reads the word. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Have this hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eye of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty words. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks to today for this opportunity to once again offer up some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Lord, we ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people, and that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. Lord, bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey and be blessed by. Lord, we pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word is lifted up in Jesus so that all those who are lost will be found today. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask all these blessings. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. You notice she didn't say that, you know, that CeCe Wine is just my favorite gospel singer right there. Amen. I love that. Amen. She didn't say we fear for it, we trip for it, we depress for it, we stress for it, we get anxious for it. She said we believe for it. That means we read what God said. That gives us hope. Hebrews 11, right? And 1, faith is now faith, is the substance of things, what, hoped for. So we read it in God's word, right? And so we believe it. And that gives us hope. And it becomes the tangible thing that we don't even possess yet, but we have confidence that we will. Why? Because we believe what God said about it. And we, even though we don't have it right now, we know that we will. So we believe God for it. Amen. And nothing else. We believe. But make sure you're believing what God said already. You can't want something that God haven't already spoken about in his word. And you can have great confidence. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things that we don't even have yet. Amen. But we can be confident. Why? Because we know that the Lord never lost the battle. Or the war, for that matter.
Is moving right now. You are still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. Your voice is calling me out. And right now, I know you're able. And my
Amen. If you really want to know, the war will be over in Revelation 21. Amen. That's when everything is going to hell that wanted to be there, and ain't nothing left but the people who believe that Jesus died and rose again, and they accepted him as their Savior and Lord. Amen. Savior first, then Lord comes after that. Amen. And he's never lost a battle. And if you read Revelation chapter 4, you will see 24 elders around the throne. That's the whole of the church. That's the whole of believers in Jesus Christ. And they got raptured, and they're in heaven. So no matter what battles we face on our way to heaven, we've already won. All we have to do is walk in the victory that we already have. Assistant Pastor Janice Tate taught us that one time. She said that we're not fighting for the victory. We're fighting from a position of victory. See, that's why it's good to go to church sometimes. People be preaching stuff, teaching stuff, and you learn stuff. So the next time you get into a battle, you say, I know the Lord ain't never lost a battle, and he ain't about to lose this one. But make sure that this is the Lord's battle. The battle is the Lord's, not ours. Make sure it's something. He fights for lost souls. He fights to get folks taught the word of God. He fights to feed the hungry, just like he did when he was here, whether they're saved or not. So make sure the battle is the Lord's and not a battle for a car and the devil trying to stop me for a house and the devil trying to stop me. Well, if you know the Lord never lost a battle, you know the battle you're in right now. You already know that he's going to make it all right.
He'll make it all right. God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Whole church, he'll make it all right.
Amen. You know, for him to make it all right, I need to go ahead and tell you stuff ain't all right. Why would Jesus make all right all right? All right is all right. If it ain't all right, you have to believe he'll make it all right. Amen. Thank God it ain't all right, so you can see him make it all right. Then that gives you a testimony. Amen. That gives you something that you can go and tell somebody else. It was all wrong, but he made it all right. It could be like Joseph. Joseph had to wait 13 years in prison for his all right to come, but it was all right. I bet he felt all right when he became prime minister of Egypt. I bet he felt all right when he got Asenath, the daughter of the priest of On, to be his wife. He had two kids real quick. I bet he made it all right. His first kid was named Manasseh. Amen. The Lord has caused me to forget my pain. And this other kid was named Ephraim. The Lord has blessed me and caused me to prosper in my disaster. Praise God. Amen. He'll make it all right. So if it's all wrong, look at yourself and say, oh, he's going to make it all right. And you know what? You ought to be happy until he makes it all right. Amen. Again, the Lord trying to minister to somebody who don't believe he can do anything or believe things is just out of control. And God is like, I don't know what I'm going to do for them. I can't help them. It's out of control. I can't even help. Oh, no. God had a plan before we even got here, right? The Lord wants you to know this morning. That's the good thing about going to church. See, the world can't make us feel like this because they don't know God. And they don't have these kind of singers. They have singers that tell you to do stuff God told you not to do, live in a way that God told you not to live. But these singers are different. They take the word of God and put it into a song. Amen. Fred Hammonds wrote a beautiful song. I think James Fortune is on this song too. And the song is simply entitled, For Those Who Don't Believe It. He challenges you and says, you're going to make it.
Hey, this song right here is not real complicated. You might not even shout off this one or bob your head back and forth or nothing like that, you know. Because it's not for everybody. It's just for those who might be going through it and need to be encouraged.
It's a heavy heart. You have tried and tried. You wear a smile when you hurt deep inside. No one really knows all the pain that you bear. But the Lord sent me to tell you, hang on in there.
The tears fall down when it feels like it's over. Everything seems to be going wrong. And your heart is broken in two. No. Your heart is broken in many different pieces. I'm here to tell you, my friend, I know what it feels like. Yeah, I know what it feels like.
He knows your pain and all that you've gone through.
He understands.
He feels your hurt.
Say it, friend.
He's here to put his arms around you.
So reach out through your tears.
So reach out through your tears.
You gotta hold the Savior
and
close.
And hold on to him tight.
Remember, faith is the key.
Faith is the key, yeah.
So my friend, don't give up the fight.
Don't give up the fight. Say it, James.
Listen, so you made the same mistake again. But this time it feels like you won't recover. The pain cuts like a knife, and it keeps getting deeper and deeper, but I need you to tell your brother, say, tell your sister, regardless of what they're going through, encourage somebody and say, despite the situation. Come on, tell them, Fred.
When you've gone as far as you can, you just stand, that's what you do, yeah. And when you don't think that you can, don't let nobody tell you you can. Yes, you can, keep the faith.
Sometimes you gotta even tell yourself you gon' make it. You gotta stand. You can't give up now. You can't let go. You gotta remember that God has brought you out of the flaw, and so you gon' make it. There's greatness on the inside of you. So my friend, remember, you're gonna make it.
Amen. Amen. Awesome, Pastor O, as always, you took us there. And we just want to thank you for those blessings of songs, of faith, and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. On this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Sister Deaconess June Rogers' pray to the Lord. Amen.
He heard Have you all been listening in to all those powerful songs that Pastor O has been playing? And, you know, like you said, they are taking the word of God and putting it to music. I know when I hear that song, it does tend to make us a bit emotional. And I would say especially when we're at a point in our life where times are hard. But we've got to get to the point where we recognize no matter what is going on in our life, whether we have lack or whether we have plenty, regardless of the situation, God is still God. Pastor O also brought up earlier, he is in control. And if we make it all wrong, God can certainly make it all right. He's the only one that can do that. So as we go to the throne this morning, just remember, God is in control. Remember, God is hearing what it is that you're saying, what we're saying collectively, and he can do something about it if it is according to his will. So let us pray. To the one and true God Almighty, who is our Father in heaven, we pray. So, Lord, what am I feeling right now, this day, this moment? Extreme gratitude. You do so much for us. You show that you love us every moment of every day. Anyone who was participating in this prayer went to sleep probably last night and did nothing to cause themselves to breathe or make their hearts beat. And yet, we awakened because you sustained our lives. You made it possible for us to take every breath and for every beat of our hearts. If we are honest, there were things we did yesterday that put our lives in jeopardy, from rushing here and there by breaking the speed limit to not paying close attention when we operate machinery. This and any number of careless activities could have led to our demise or even harm of others, and yet you spared our lives. Oh, Lord, need I go on about the countless perils that we could have been overtaken by? Lord, we take you and your love for granted. And please forgive us for that. I wish I could say that we didn't really mean to do wrong and sin, but that's simply not true. Oh, sure, we become regretful, sorrowful, and even pledge repentance, but that is usually after we get caught. We are no better than King David in trying to cover up our sins as if you cannot see. For you say in your word that after David had compelled a married woman to have sex with him, resulting in pregnancy, tried to cover it up by murdering Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. Then he went on about his business until you sent the message through a prophet to pull him up, to put a mirror before his face so he could see and reflect upon his sin. That's what you continue to do, Father. Send us messages to do right. Oh, the way you get our attention. It is no longer necessary for a prophet to lay it all out. For you have left us with your Holy Spirit, the counselor, the one inside of us, convicting us even before sin is committed. Oh, how we thank you. Never having to blindly walk into a hole if we would just listen to what you have to say by way of the Holy Spirit. Yes, if only we would listen. Help us to listen, Lord. Even now, as you are drawing us in by this prayer, speak to each of us in that way in which only you know. And then let us recognize your voice, so different and distinct from any other. Jesus, you said that just the sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd, that your sheep, that's us, we recognize your voice. Yes, you are the good shepherd. If one of us wanders off, you pursue that one with intensity. You call us when we go astray. Having done your part, now we need to do ours. You call, we hear, and we must obey or suffer for it. No, we will not suffer the fate we deserve of eternal damnation because you, Jesus, Son of God, sacrificed yourself for us. But oh, how we can suffer here on earth as we reap the harvest of the sin seeds we sow. Broken marriages, estranged families, prison, addictions, high blood pressure, heart disease, total vehicles, foreclosures, evictions, bankruptcies, shootings, stabbings, and more. Often these perils befall us because we do not adhere to your word. We override your warnings, Holy Spirit. Again, please forgive us. But how grateful we are, Lord God, that none of that leads to you cutting us off because you love us. Many of those holes we dig for ourselves, you are merciful. And so you show us a way to fill them in or a way around them. I pray for anyone this morning who is facing the consequences of sin. I pray that you will tailor a way out just like you did for Cain, who had murdered his brother Abel. Cain deserved to be treated as a pariah and done in by those who encountered him, just as we deserve to be outcast and imprisoned for some of our actions. No, Lord, we don't deserve your grace and your mercy, but we are your children. And with that, we have an inheritance made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord God. So we finish up this prayer with hearts of gratitude and sober-minded. Romans 5 tells us that we have been justified by faith. So we have peace with you, Father, through you, Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of you, God. So our righteousness, you have already fixed for us. We just need to do our part. We need to be obedient and have faith because you asked us to, and for our own good. This morning, we put the sin that comes from our carnal minds on the altar. Consistent with Romans 8, we will no longer live according to the flesh with our minds set on what the flesh desires, but instead in accordance with the Spirit, having our minds set on what the Spirit desires. We do not desire the death that comes with a mind governed by the flesh, but instead we claim your promise of life and peace when our minds are governed by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And so we release right now all our cares, worries, needs, and wants into the only hands that are able to hold and handle them. Lord, let us stop taking you for granted. We say these things, and then our actions demonstrate that we don't mean it. We pray and say that we want your will to be done, but then when we don't get our way, we have a little hissy fit. So, Lord, we are praying legitimately, sincerely, with all our heart, that your will is done everywhere on earth. You said that it is not your wish that any would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. And so we want to do our part and be in partnership with you to let that word actually happen. It's an honor for us to be used by you to spread the gospel of who you are. So, Lord, when we come across that person that you tell us to tell them about you, help us to stop ignoring you and to actually talk to that person. We don't have to start out the conversation sounding spooky and saying a whole lot of things. We just need to go over there and be obedient and speak to them, and then you will do the rest. You will tell us what to do and what to say. You are just so awesome. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. When we do acknowledge, Lord, that if we keep our mind stayed on you, you will keep your promise of keeping us in perfect peace. Lord, help us not to be selfish and to especially remember your charge to us to love each other as we love ourselves, and your even greater charge for us to love each other as you have loved us. This morning, we could have prayed for cars or houses or fame or fortune, but as you have already promised, if we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, all that other stuff will be added unto us. What an awesome assurance. We are going to stop taking you for granted and instead be appreciative of all you have already given us. Thank you. Let us not only to bask in your love, but let it radiate from us to our fellow human beings. Help us to not be selfish. We commit ourselves into your hands once again, seeking your face and asking that you would heal our nations. We are fully aware that as your people, again, according to your word, called by your name, that if we would just come to you humbly, pledge to turn from our wicked ways, that will activate your promise of healing our lands. And Lord, we need healing in our lands. There is a major war that is still ongoing. Not just there's the one big one that we know about, but there are a whole lot of other small wars that may be going on, and they are not small to the people who are involved in them. Some of them may be in nations even listening into this broadcast. We know that people kill other people in your name, Lord. Oh, how horrible. Forgive them. They know not what they do, but let them listen to you, especially those leaders who are leading these skirmishes and trying to do ethnic cleansing and just killing, slaughtering everyone just because they don't agree with them. That is not of you, Lord. We pray for the true salvation of those in leadership of our nation. You said that the heart of the king is in your hands. So we pray that they will seek you and make godly decisions. Let them every day acknowledge and be mindful of the stewardship that many of them pledged to undertake. And we know, Lord, that if they are disobedient and not do this, we know what you are capable of. We are not putting any curses or anything on anybody. We remember what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. And so that's what we're asking for, Lord. If you've got to pull someone's coattail so that people live, so that your will would come forth, then, Lord, we pray that you will do just that. Wake them up. Shake them up. Let them eat a little grass so that they know what it is that they need to know so that they can start to be honest and governing. And you know what the situation is in the United States with our politics. But they're making real decisions that are affecting real people. They're affecting people's ability to eat and to be able to have a place to live and to not be in strife trying to figure out how to pay back some college loans for a degree that they never got and a job that they couldn't get as a result of that. And a lot of that was based on chicanery, Lord. You knew that there were institutions that just wanted the money and didn't necessarily care about the people. So, yeah, we've made a big mess down here, and we know you're the one that will see us through it. We pray for healing spiritually, mentally, and physically for the sick that may be among us. Watch over the mothers of our church, especially Mother Marilyn and Mother Irma, who've been struggling with illnesses. We pray for the father of our church, Tyrone Hamilton, and his wife, who is his caretaker, Mother Cheryl. Please also show love and mercy to our brother, Minister John McFall, and all who are struggling, whether they're in our ministry, whether they're listening, whoever they may be, Lord, you know what's going on with people. You know about these illnesses. We pray, Lord, that you will open the eyes of their doctors so they can figure out what's going on so that they can apply cure. And we pray for miracles, Lord. We know we don't know everything down here. I pray, Lord, that the doctors that are responsible for our healing would also listen to you. It would definitely help them to be better doctors. We pray for each and every one that's been mentioned so far, and even those that were not mentioned, that they will heal and recover and that it will take place speedily. Help us to see, Lord, that it is you that is with us. You're leading us into all righteousness, and you always permit those who are looking for you to find you. That's all we got to do. It's just seek you out and you're there. Help us to also remember, Lord, that our days are numbered, and may that knowledge urge us to be about your business. Tomorrow is not promised to any one of us. Some, in fact, have recently lost loved ones, and we ask, Father, that you would comfort them by way of the Holy Spirit, and not just by just the kind words that people may say, but doing more. If it's taking a meal to a family, if it's watching a baby while the family member is able to or have to go and take care of some business with funeral arrangements or whatever. Lord, let whatever it is that you're placing on our hearts to do as far as our works, because we know that faith is nothing without our works. So when you're asking us to do something on your behalf to your glory, let us actually listen and do it, Lord, because that's the Jesus that people see in this world is going to be through the body of Christ. So help us, Lord. We're going to place everything at your feet right now. Our world, family, relationships, everything's on our hearts, what we've already talked about, and we're going to leave it there, and we're not going to move into you tell us to. So we're going to cast our cares on you. You told us to do it. That's what we're going to do, Lord. And right now, there are people everywhere listening to this broadcast right now and maybe even into the future. We pray, Lord, that you are listening to what they are saying right now and that you will answer their prayer. And we just thank you for this venue to even have something like this where we can be everywhere and here together with two or more gathered in your name. So we just thank you because we know you're listening. So I pray that everyone's listening is already saved, and if not, that they definitely will be before this broadcast is ended. And whether that's today, in September of 2022, or whether that's well into the future, maybe even next week. And we know you're going to listen, Lord, because that's what you're all about. You said in your word that you are a faithful God, that you keep your covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love you and keep your commands. So we bring these petitions to you this morning as we proclaim you as King, acknowledging you to be that you are, as eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only God. And so we join heaven this morning declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And we say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And now we seal our prayer in the great name that one day every knee will bow to and that every tongue will confess as Lord. In that great name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Power and prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Deaconess June Rogers, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Amen. Have the best day ever. All right. So far, we are having a great time this morning. There's more to come. I want to just thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessings. Okay. Time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part. Icing on the cake. Following this selection, the next voice we will have the pleasure of hearing is our very own beautiful woman of God, Associate Pastor Sarah McClendon. Prepare to receive Associate Pastor Sarah McClendon come in her own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Holy. Bow down before the Lord God, our maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship him. Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fill the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is Lord the Most High. What with me? I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. Then when Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands, touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord, I'll commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count a pure joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand, and yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might, glory and life, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
care to the grains of my hair. Divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence. The fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know you're heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns. You took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man fell and then you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall. But with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord.
Full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips, said my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
Amen. Amen. Happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. I may not sound like her, but I am a teacher, and so I use my voice 24/7, and today is one of those days, so please bear with me. Again, good morning, and I am going to pray first, and then we are going to jump right into God's Word. Amen. Lord, thank you for allowing us in your presence, and thank you for just being who you are to us, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, Jesus. And Lord, just keep everyone safe and everyone out of harm's way, and allow all the listeners on here to be blessed by this word, Lord. And just thank you for just, again, being yourself and revealing yourself in your word each and every time, and continue to just bless those who need extra love, Lord, and just show yourself to those that and need to be seen, Lord, and thank you again for being who you are and what you stand for. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen. Amen. So today I will be coming from Psalms 23, and that is a very familiar verse or passage,
And so what God did for me this time was he allowed me to see himself in Psalms 23. So I am going to share with you what he shared with me. You might want to get something to write with, some paper. It was a lot of good information, and I am more than elated to share with everyone that is listening. Again, excuse my voice. It's probably in and out. I'm going to try to talk as clear as possible and slowly because of the strain. But God is still God nonetheless, and he's going to do his thing. So I am going to read Psalms 23, and I'll give everybody a second to get there, and I'll get my paper situated, and then we can get started. All right, Psalms chapter 23, and it reads, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I didn't understand what God was doing when he put this together, and this has been in the making for at least like 3 months now. So a couple months ago, we revamped our children's church downstairs, and I started the task of taking children downstairs, and this was one of the very first passages that we did together besides the rainbow. And so when we were doing this, I would have them listen with their eyes closed so that they can hear words that jumped out to them. And so I did the same thing when I started teaching. I was blessed enough to get a position this year as a fifth grade teacher at Westside Christian Academy in Detroit, Michigan. And beautiful, I mean beautiful place, beautiful children, beautiful people. And God has allowed me to grow even in the 3 weeks that I've been there. And I'm sure I've grown on people the 3 weeks that I've been there because I'm just one of those people. I'm everywhere all the time. And so when I asked God what our passage would be for devotion, what we would do every day, what would our class proclamation be, this stuck out. And one of the things that churches found or expound on when it comes to Psalms 23 is that God completely shows that he provides everything that you need in any given situation. And so I was able to title this message, Unwavering Loyalty. In this message, David is the author, and it is an ode. It's a poem, if you will, and it portrays God's presence, his provision, his protection, and his promise of restoration. And so when that came to me, when that was presented in itself, I'm like, Jesus, this is a lot, right? And then over time, I was asked to do a Sunday school lesson at Running for Christ Ministries, and I had the Good Shepherd. And so when God connected those dots, I said, okay, let's do this, right? You get into things, and God wants you to dive deep into things because God wants to reveal himself in every piece of it. And I didn't realize that until it was this study that brought it together. So that's why I said get something to write with, because this has been coming, if you will, right? This has been a growing baby of mine, and I truly appreciate the restoration piece, if you will, the most, but I thank God for the protection, the presence, and the provision. So let's dive deep. So verse number one, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Sometimes we get consumed with what we think that we need and what we want. And it was in this verse that God asked the question, are you set? Do you believe that you have everything that you need to survive? Do you think that I've blessed you with everything that you need? And I kind of thought it was a trick question because I'm like, didn't you say that you gave me everything? And so I don't know if it was I needed to respond that way or I needed to openly say that I have everything that I need. God has blessed me with everything that I need to survive right now here in this circumstance. And so sometimes we forget that when we're in the thick of circumstances, and we'll get there later, of course, in verse 4, but sometimes, you know, we don't submit to God's sovereignty. It says the Lord is my shepherd. And so one of the things that also was highlighted was that David was submissive to who God was in his life. And we know David did some stuff. And so it was very enlightening, if you will, that in every circumstance, David was able to still identify with God in some way. And I truly accredited that to his obedience in some ways, but more so to his submission, knowing that you are Lord, you are sovereign. And so I'm going to give Jehovah's today. The first Jehovah is Jehovah Ra, and we know that's shepherd. And also Jehovah Jireh, provider, because it says, I have everything that I need. When I was able to put the Jehovah's in there, I'm like, ooh, this is nice, Lord. But before that, you kind of just get stuck on the fact that, wow, I have everything that I need, and I don't need too much more other stuff. And then you think, like, well, why do I so want the other stuff? Like, what's going on with the other stuff? 2 Corinthians, chapter, oh, no, sorry, that's the wrong one. Sorry. Genesis chapter 22, verses 13 and 14. This is where Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his son, and God provided the ram. And this is where Abraham named it Jehovah Jireh, and this is Jehovah Jireh here. Another verse that connects with that is Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So whatever you need, God is providing for you. Whatever you want, rethink that to make sure that you need it. And I want everything, okay? I want all of it. I want it to shine. I want it to glisten. I want it to have glitter on it. I want it to cost a lot. But do I need all of that? Is it going to sustain me? Am I going to be able to still give God the submission that I need if I have everything that I want? Number 2. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. And I'm going to read a portion. So I stopped there, and I wasn't going to verse 3, but I'm not. One thing about sheep that I've learned, and we're sheep. I definitely appreciate June's prayer earlier because I was like, oh, yeah, Jesus, this was it. This was it. One thing about sheep is they're very paranoid. They're very frantic. And they only trust their shepherd. And so when it says that he lets me rest in meadows, green meadows, there's a submission there too because sheep have to keep up with their shepherd. They have to follow him. They have to be obedient. Sometimes they will get lost, and that's not the goal of the shepherd. But if a sheep decides to do what it wants to do, and we all know that they're not that smart, and they get into some things, they can't defend themselves, they need someone there. And so, again, that submission piece, that do you ask God permission before you go take this or take this break or do this self-care, if you will. Not saying that self-care is a bad idea, but have you consulted God about everything in your journey? Or have you just did some things all along and the shepherd has to come get you? Not that he won't come get you, but, you know, think about it. What type of submission do you and God have? Do you have unwavering loyalty? And I'm sorry, I need to go back a second because I got so excited talking, I forgot to give my definition. Unwavering is an adjective, and it means steady, or resolute. It means this is what it is. This is what it's not. I know what it's not, and you can't change my mind. Loyalty is the same thing, except for it's a not. And it's a strong feeling or support, and it builds an allegiance. And so when you think about that and you're like, wow, you know, that's a very deep allegiance. What type of allegiance do you and God have? Do you believe that he's provided everything that you need? Like we've heard in verse 1, is he your shepherd? Do you consult him for everything? Okay, now verse 2. Sorry for jumping back, but here we go. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Because sheep are very frantic and paranoid, things have to be very quiet for them most of the time. And so that is us in situations. Sometimes we need a reset. We need to be quiet and we need to be still. And we've seen that in Psalms 46 when it says, be still and know that I am God. And in those peaceful moments, you regain your strength, or you regain anything that you lost on the journey, right? Verse 3, he renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. So that's the second half of it. So we are leading you in the submission piece. You submitting means that essentially you don't have to think about your path. It's already pretty set. And we know that the Bible is there. And the Bible gives us instructions on everything in life. And so why go on your own path if the path's already been set? Not that we don't. We're human and things happen. However, we have to be submissive enough to know that there is a plan that God already made for us. He said in Jeremiah 29:11, essentially in Ephesians 2, that this is the plan and it works for my good, not yours. So understand that submission comes with green meadows, peaceful streams. And that's not always all the time. And we'll see that when we get down to further verses, that even though they're peaceful and everything right now, you know, there might come a time where you have to put on, you know, your big sheep wool and get unparanoid, right? So in verses 2 and 3, we see the Lord being Adonai, which is master, Jehovah Shalom, peace, and Jehovah Rapha, healer. And I threw healer in there, and I didn't put it with the oil because if sheep are along a path and they get frantic and they need that restoration piece, then that kind of heals them in a sense. It heals them enough to keep on trusting their shepherd. And God, that's why God wants us to cast all our cares on him, because that's a healing for us. Not forgiving, not leaving your burdens with the Lord, and all of those things create a heaviness. And then we don't have peace. And then people wonder why they can't sleep. And I'll use myself for an example. I deal with depression and anxiety. And so me and the Lord wrestle a lot. We used to wrestle a lot. And now I'm understanding who the shepherd is and why the shepherd does what he does, and I can sleep. I'm smiling again. I actually want to come home to my children and be around them after dealing with children at school. And so you think about the things that you need in those quiet places, the things that nobody knows about, but only God knows, but yet we don't submit it to him. So, like, we carry it. We essentially turn ourselves into the shepherd in those instances. And those are the instances where God, he understands where we are, but he expects us as Christians to do better because we already know what's up. And not that we don't get in places where we need encouragement, but sometimes we get in places and we stay there because we're the shepherd. We're our shepherd. I'll read my Bible later. I'll do it first, and then I'll do that when it comes to the Lord. You know what I mean? Or I just started trying to have a disciplined journey for Bible classes, if you will. And so I'm like, listen, you have to sit down and you have to listen, even if you're not answering the question, even if you don't have anything answered. You have to understand that this is the standard and this is what you have to do. And when you submit to God's plan and you understand the standard and you understand the expectation, he expects you to do that. He expects you to keep that with him. Because what if he didn't keep his promises to us? Yeah, I know, right? So in verse 2, we see provision for a stable state of being in all domains, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, for sure. In verse 3, we see a provision for proper mental health. So the Lord understands that we need self-care. However, he wants us to identify in him with our self-care. I was a big tell everybody first and then go consult to God last. And when I understood that that's what I was doing, even with my husband, the Lord, he like, how do you expect things to be worked out if you then already tainted everything before you got to me? Now I'm hearing from this person, I'm hearing that person piece, I'm hearing that person piece, and your piece is tainted because now it's not even yours anymore. You've given up all your autonomy. You've given up every piece of autonomy by not coming to me first. Because one thing my mother used to say is that you came here by yourself and you're going to go to heaven by yourself if you get saved. And so when you think about that and you're like, to only be between you and God because you know that he'll restore your soul right then and there. Some stuff has to be because you know that he will renew your strength. One of the songs that I like to listen to a lot is Encourage Yourself by the Clark Sisters, only because that is when I know that me and God are here and we're talking and I can pour my heart out to him. I'm a very extroverted person. And so to have to narrow down and to watch people not necessarily fall by the wayside, but not necessarily be in that immediate bubble anymore, that was hard for me. That was very hard for me. God did that for a reason, and when I realized that God, it was because God wanted to spend time with me because of the person that he knew that I was going to be for him, then I understood the assignment. I understood that, okay, you are providing for me so that I can always give glory to you, and I can help guide someone else to Christ because that's the goal. Also, within that, he promises to renew your strength day by day. David did some stuff. David, I mean, we all know he did stuff, and we all know he had to renew time and time and time again with the Lord. And not saying it's something wrong with that, but at the same time, when you understand who's in charge and you understand that you're not, then maybe you might get something different every time just to help along the way. Maybe that tool needs an additional tool, but you can't get that additional tool until you get the immediate tool to build on. Amen. All right. Verse 4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. And I'm going to stop there because the second part of it is a different, or never mind. Your rod and your staff protect and cover me. Amen. Got to be obedient. So in verse 4, we see the presence and the protection from external and internal conflicts. This is where, this is part of why Psalm 23 is very popular, is the rod and the staff. And so I did some research on the rod and the staff, and the rod is a long handle with a hook on the end. And a staff, if you will, is a club in a sense. It's used to beat things and defend. And so the rod is used to get sheep out of places. And there is where Jehovah Shammah comes up. The Lord is there. And then El Elyon, my defender, the Most High, comes up. Because in those situations where you know that 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 only God can get you out of it, that's who shows up. Jehovah Shammah is there. We know that. But now he shows up even more because now I'm in the darkest of valleys. I used to listen to Brother Pelham Love a lot because that's where I used to, my home church. And when he talked about sheep, I could literally envision it in my mind. And so he talked about one day this, I want to say canal, but walking through a valley is very dark outside. And the only thing that is guiding you is the shepherd. And as a sheep, again, no defenses, not very smart, I need to stay with the flock. I need to be right here. The valleys we know are the low places, and the mountains are the high places. But what happens when you're stuck there in the valley on the way to the mountain? Because we know it don't go mountain, 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 mountain. It's valley. It might be valley, mountain, mountain. Valley, valley, valley. What happens when you are not at the highest of the highest of the highest of places? And then you're like, oh, here comes another valley, Lord. Your response is key in those situations. Your response is key. When you know that a valley may come up, or when you know that in a valley, for instance, a valley for me was grief. And a grief, it can, for a lot of people, I recognize it, I embody it, I embrace it, I understand that that is a part of my valley process, specifically my mother. And in the valley is where you don't sometimes think God is around. Sometimes that's literally the test where the teacher is completely quiet and it's the test. And it's not open book. It's literally what you studied. And so it put me in a space when I was thinking about a valley and shepherds and sheep, because I'm like, if sheep aren't that smart and they're frantic and they're paranoid, how do they keep their cool? And the Lord brought to my attention that the condition of the flock is directly correlated to the care from the shepherd. If the shepherd has completely taken care of his flock and they know that they can trust him undeniably and they have that unwavering loyalty, they don't care what the valley looks like because they already know who's in front of them and they know who's behind and they know who's on the side and they know the sheepdogs are there and they know that everything that they need, everything has been provided for them. So I just got to keep walking and I got to keep listening for my name. And that is the thing that God really had me recognize about that grief process is that, yes, it is a very, very deceptive place. It looks like it's not going to end. It looks like it's just going to keep going. Where's my mountain, Lord? What's going on? Even with finances, not even grief. It could be anything antagonistic that attacks your well-being and your emotional state of being. That could be considered a valley. And so in the valley, you have to trust the shepherd. You have to continue reading your Bible. You have to continue praying. 2 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Literally, it could be the smallest of things. Lord, I don't know what's going on right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And that could be it. I remember I had to build my prayer life up, and I didn't know how I was going to do that because God was like, you know, you need to pray. You need to pray like well. And not because people need to hear you pray well, but you need to be able to openly come boldly to my throne without no one telling you that that's what you have to do in that situation. That's how strong your allegiance has to be with me. Blew my mind. The other thing I had to understand is that everybody has a valley. They may not look like they have a valley. Everybody goes through something. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, it says, indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. Believe that. Everybody has a valley. Not one person walking the earth can say, nope, I don't struggle with nothing, and I'm good, Lord. Not at all. And if that's the case, please stay away from them because they're their own shepherd in real life. All right. The other thing that stuck out on verse 4 was that there's a guaranteed help in moments of uncertainty. No matter what, God is there. And most of the time, it's we don't see God or hear God or anything because we're not paying attention to him. He shows up. I didn't know that this many Jehovah's was in Psalms 23 like that, for real. And it's not that I wasn't, introduced to it or anything. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't intentionally study it at that time. And you through your walk with God, you have to be intentional with him. A sheep has to intentionally listen to his shepherd. One of the things I also learned about sheep and shepherds is that in a sheep fold, there might be more than one flock. Nobody's going through picking out their sheep. And back in the day, they didn't even tag. Like, who knows if they tagged them or anything like that. They literally listened for the shepherd's voice. And we see that in John chapter 10, verses 3 through 4, and then John chapter 10, verses 14. Sheep recognize the shepherd by their voice. A sheep recognizes the shepherd. And sometimes we don't know what God's voice sounds like in that instant. Sometimes our voice is louder than God's in that instant. And in those instances, who's the shepherd? Who's in charge? Are you submitting to God? Are you submitting? When people say submit, people automatically think husband or wife. And I now automatically think God. Like, uh-oh, what happened? If we talk about submission, somebody ain't following directions. And it's not about the man in charge, especially when the man is after God's own heart. It's about God getting the glory. Because, again, in verse 3, bringing honor to his name. That's all God is. That's it. That's the plan. Okie dokie. Still there when there is no sight of him. The good shepherd is never, and a good shepherd never forsakes his sheep. Ever, 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 ever. Never forsakes his sheep. The Lord really values his sheep. And I understood that. And once I understood that and I understood that we were sheep and we were valuable to God, I understood that God really, really just didn't want me to be afraid to be a good sheep for him. He didn't want me to be afraid to be the sheep following direction, you know? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And that really, really identifies with how a good shepherd treats his sheep. Again, the condition of a flock is based upon how a shepherd treats his flock. It is not based upon the sheep taking care of themselves. They don't take care of themselves. They're not very smart. And they are just there, you know. They just wait on their name to be called. During a valley, you also have to maintain a courageous perspective because there is protection. There is grace and mercy that comes with that. The rod and the staff protect you. They should, and the provision of the shepherd sees what's coming and protects his flock no matter what. Okie dokie. So again, Jehovah Shammah and El Elyon, my defender, the Most High. And Jehovah Shammah means the Lord is there. Verse number 5. Okay, sorry. Before I go to verse number 5. Verse number 4, another verse attached to that is a reference verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I guess. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Be bold in your valley. When I was in my valley, it was 2017, and I still have spouts of valleyness, if that's a word. But I heard we can make up words over here, so I'm doing it. So in my spouse of valleyness, I at first was not courageous. I was very timid, and I was very, it was like an imposter syndrome. Like, nope, I'm not good enough. Now in valleys, okay, come on, let's do this. Let me find, Lord, just give me a verse and we'll be all right, right? Because sometimes it comes up so fast and you're like, this valley, wait a minute. And that's, for us as Christians, we are given an extra set, right? we're not as literal as sheep, because we get a plan. We have a written plan. And so the more you study God's plan, the more well prepared you'll be. The more well prepared you'll be for valleys and mountains, because you could fall off a mountain and end up in a valley, and you got to be prepared for that too. All right, that was amen, Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, verse number 5. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. There we see Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. It is very critical to understand that a shepherd protects his sheep so much that in the midst of their enemies, I can still feed my sheep. I did some research, and I didn't, because I'm like, Lord, I need some churchy, you know, I need to be ready. And so prepare a table literally meant for shepherds that they lay out, they had a belt with cloth with a pouch and it had grass and cider in it. And they lay the cloth out for the sheep to eat off of. And their enemy could be any adversarial situation. And so when that was put into perspective, I said, wow. So in the middle of a valley, here you come giving me something to eat and something to drink to make sure I can make it. Or here you are blessing my home in the middle of a quote-unquote recession, in the middle of my financial struggle, in the middle of my, you blessed me with empathy, in the middle of my grief, in the middle of my depression, in the middle of my anxiety, that I can keep going. Now, for me, that was another spot of provision, because who's to say the shepherd don't know what's next for real? And he getting you ready for what's next. And that was how I felt about this message today was, oh, wow, oh, you get me ready for what's next. And so remember that in the midst of your enemies, God's still going to provide. God's still going to take care of his sheep. A good shepherd takes care of his sheep no matter what. With that being said, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. I love the fact that anoint and blessings were used in that context, in this context, in this translation. So anoint means to sanctify or to make holy. In the Old Testament, only it was a gift to be anointed. It was a gift to be anointed. It was a gift to be anointed. When the Holy Spirit came, that gave way. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was ripped in two. That gave way for the Holy Spirit to come in and anoint us as children of the Most High God. And so with that in perspective, you understand that I do need to submit to keep my anointing, right? Because oil could get soaked up. And then you have to, you know, refresh yourself, refresh your soul. And, okay, so I'm reading from an external source. Shepherds would put oil on a sheep's head both to soothe and to heal. Flies are one of the worst enemies of sheep. The sheep can't shake the flies off, knock them off with their hooves, nor swat them away with their tails like other animals. Flies get up in the noses of their sheep where they lay their eggs. When the eggs hatch, the larva drives the sheep insane. They literally begin to bang their heads against rocks or a wall. Shepherds mix oil with sulfur and pour it over the head of the sheep to act as an insect repellent and help prevent flies from laying their eggs. It's like the shepherd takes care of all the sheep's little irritants. The shepherd also uses the oil as a salve. When sheep have an open wound, the shepherd uses oil as an ointment. As our good shepherd not only protects us, he also soothes our hurts and heals the wounds of life. Not only will God handle the hurt, but he will also begin to repair your soul. To start the healing process, we need to yield to the Lord for strength. The last step in the healing process is living our lives through him. We need to understand that there's going to be a scar. The Lord allows these scars to remind us of the healing that has taken place. We can either look at the scar remembering those who hurt us or look at the scar remembering God's grace. So the Lord as our good shepherd means that he soothes and heals our souls and he anoints our heads with oil. Amen. That really, really, really blessed my soul when I was doing this study. And I said, Lord, I'm reading it. And that comes to my next name, which is Jehovah Mekadesh, if I said it correctly. If I didn't, I'm sorry. Sanctifier. And when I understood and when I came to acknowledge that you want to make me holy, you want me to clean every little yucky thing out of me and just be me for you, you're amazing. You're amazing. People that know me know that I'm kind of hard on myself a lot, but I know me. And I know the things that I've thought about me, and people would never believe it if I told them. However, to know that this was a plan that God put together, I can only do nothing but be submissive to him from this point forward, right? And to understand that you still can gain this anointing in the state of despair is even more mind-blowing about the Lord. And to know that, again, the condition of the flock is based off the shepherd. That means every good thing, every bad thing, every mountain, every valley, period. When you see people in these states, one of the things that we can do as Christians, and I don't think we realize it, is anoint other people in a sense. Not specifically with oil. You got your oil. You can slab them down. Nope. Words of encouragement. Gifts of affirmation, right? Words of affirmation, gifts. Prayers, like genuine ones. Like intentionally, like when the Lord places them on your heart and you pray for them more than you pray for yourself, maybe, because you can just feel it. You can feel people's energy if you pay attention. And so if you're too busy worried about your cup and your anointing and you're not helping other people, would God anoint you again? Like, that's a thing for me. I'm like, I don't want to mess up, Lord. I need all mine. And I want the mansion too. And so just really think about that is, everybody has the opportunity to get this anointing, not just you yourself. So why not encourage and imply and implement those positive affirmation pieces to ensure that they, too, get the same anointing that you got if they don't have it? That wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit. Don't be mad. All right. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. And there we see El Shaddai, the Lord, my nourisher. He replenishes. He puts back. And he gives more than enough. All right. I'll make sure I get everything. Okay. Lastly, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That is an example of God's everlasting agape love. To think about it that way completely makes me speechless in a sense. And it does so because not only is that El Olam, God of eternity, but it is also just a breathtaking experience when God manifests himself in your life completely, and when you allow God to manifest himself in your life. No, things are not going to go completely perfect. However, goodness and unfailing love are going to pursue me, which means it might not be everything that I want, but it's everything that I need for this process for me to be perfect for Christ. And to understand that, to know that, to feel that is completely, completely breathtaking. That brings me to Jesus, I am. John chapter 10 verses, I'm going to do 3-4, and then I'm going to go to his I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, 3-4. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them by name. And he brings them out as his own, and the sheep follow him alone. Yet they will not belong to a stranger, but will flee from him, because they don't know his voice. And then he goes on to say, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep are my own. And so you're just like, wow, Lord, you just want to keep pouring into me and pouring into me and pouring into me and pouring into me. And it just, again, breathtaking, because there you see what God intended, what's the piece of what God intended, right? You say, why is there a plan? Why is there this? God makes a plan because he knows how his plan is going to benefit you and us and in our daily lives. He wants to pursue us with him, but we have to pursue him first, and that's the catch, right? Or is it a catch? Not really, because why wouldn't you pursue someone that wants to provide all of your needs, that wants to restore your soul and wants to be with you in the darkest of places? Don't care what you look like, smell like, or sound like as a sheep. I'm willing to take care of you regardless. And for eternity at that, I sent my son for you to die for you so I can pursue you. And so we to think about it like that, you're like, oh, you want to give me something and you want nothing in return other than obedience and submission? Amen, Lord, let's do this. All right. Before I close, I wanted to highlight that Ezekiel chapter 34 talks about shepherds and sheep specifically. And reading it, I kind of got chills at the beginning. And then at the end, I was like, okay, Jesus. At the beginning, it talks about shepherds doing sheep bold, like not doing them the right way. And then he talks about how he's going to restore his sheep. And it reminds me of Psalms when he talks about how he feels about us and how we're valuable to him. And then you think, like, he really care about me. Little old me, little dust to the ground, Sarah. He cares about each and every one of us and our specific journey. Now, another thing, too, is I don't believe that he allows sheep to treat sheep bold. So with that being said, understanding that we all have our own journey with God and we all embrace God differently and we look different and we sound different, but God still puts us all in the same flock, we have to respect each other with that. We have to understand that, no, I don't look like you, you don't look like me, but we got the same shepherd. So ideally, we kind of have one same goal, 3 million different paths, which nothing is wrong with, because he says, I design your plan. You don't design anything. And the minute you turn and you design your own plan, you become your own shepherd. Provide for yourself. Let me see how it works. I've been told that before. I thought I was hearing, like, it was bad. I'm like, Lord, did you? Yeah. You keep on being, go ahead. Accolades, go ahead. Use it the wrong way. Keep doing that and watch. And so you ask God, how many times have you sat and just reflected upon the goodness and mercy of God and how he's manifested himself in those all those names in that one passage? And so let alone how many times have you reflected on his provision and his presence and his protection and his promise of restoration for you? How many times have we forgotten the restoration process that God has had for us, and then we see somebody else going through it and we don't help them? That's my biggest pet peeve these days, y'all, I promise. And I'm a kid person. And it's like, why don't you want to explain your mistake to this child? You don't have to give the vivid details, but why not speak it with discernment? Why not? I will tell y'all, my parents, I love my parents, and I love my parents' mistakes. Not because I want to boast about my parents' mistakes. My parents were transparent about most of their mistakes. And the older we got, and my parents were very discerning about how they were transparent about their mistakes, because the older we got, the more we hurt. And not because they wanted to scare us or they wanted to treat us, you know, to tell us what it is or give us the vivid details or anything like that. They wanted to guide us in God's path. That's why they had that discernment. And even though I saw what I saw and some things were not like they were should be, that transparency allowed me to align that with God's word, to understand where and when to plug in God and where they didn't plug in God. And that's why it's so essential to share with these generations, with these people, period. You might run into a grandma that's raising some kids. You never know. And that kid might be dealing with what you dealt with. And the grandma is like, okay, let me try this with them. And it works. I'm a behavior specialist too, y'all. And so I get into to things that let's try this again. Some stuff right now, we might have to go back to the drawing board. And God is a God of more than enough chances. So why wouldn't he allow you to come back and do it again? And we all know 1 John 1:9 is real. Right? All right. I don't want to preach another 45 minutes, right? All right, so in conclusion, the presence of God, of course, was apparent in all the verses, but specifically 1 through 4. The provision of God is in verses 1 through 3 and then verse number 6. The protection of God, 4 through 5. And we also have to be careful of those self-inflicted valleys when it comes to the protection of God. We think God's not protecting us, but we did it ourselves. So beware. And then verses 2 through 6 are the promise of restoration, prove the promise of restoration. God declares himself as the shepherd. He says, I'm it. Follow my directions. Follow me, and you will be great. It might not be perfect, but it's going to be amazing. I hope everyone was blessed. I was blessed. Y'all should see how many papers I got over here. I hope everyone has a very uneventful week. And just to tap into those, when you're in a valley, tap into it. Understand that God's going to provide in the midst of your enemies, that God's going to knows what's ahead of it. God understands how far it is to get to the mountain and what you need before you get to the mountain so you don't fall off. All right? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being good. Lord, thank you for just being you and not changing and all these attributes that you just spit out at us in your word, Lord. Thank you for just being powerful enough to be able to show us in the midst of our valleys what it is, Lord. And even if it's that simple answer, Lord, thank you for everyone listening, Lord, and just for not being nervous this time, Lord. And just thank you for giving me the energy and to be able to just be zealous for your word. And thank you for allowing the shepherd of our church, Gerald M. Overall, to just be so amazing at how he's inclusive, Lord. Thank you for not only his inclusiveness, but him and his wife's unwavering loyalty to the ministry. Lord, bless them specifically because we know that things happen, Lord, and people get tired, Lord, and people get weary, Lord, and raise up a generation that is willing to be just as zealous and have just as much energy as me. And just, again, thank you for being who you are, Lord. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen.
God provides. So why do I worry about my life when you come to my rescue 1,000 times? Every other voice, it is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see. And my tonight.
Watch God provide.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. I am so good. Here go Pastor with the musical interlude. Oh, my Lord have mercy. Once again, I am speechless. The word. First of all, my sister, I love her. You want to talk about an Energizer bunny? She got more energy than a 20-pack of battery. And it seems like she is just always, always full. You know, I'll tell you this. Like, I'm learning so much about sheep. You know, you read the word and, you know, you read over things. And it's like, when you think about sheep, it's definitely not by coincidence that God called us sheep, okay? He didn't just pick an animal and say, yeah, I'm just going to compare humans to, you know, whatever. We could be lions. We could be dinosaurs. We could be sharks. But God called us sheep. You know, sheep are truly, like, clearly the weakest animal and need the shepherd to lead them and to take care of them, or else they wouldn't make it. They would not survive. And so we clearly need Jesus, okay? We needed him to go to the cross for us, and we didn't even know it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't even know, okay, that we needed a Savior. We're living our lives and doing whatever. We didn't even know that we needed a Savior, okay? We needed him to go to the cross for us so that we could have someone to guide us, so we could have his word. You know, and the word that was brought today, you know, his provision, Psalm 23, his provision, his protection, his promises, you know, his love, his mercy, his goodness, his grace, his holiness, and knowing that he is always with us. He is I am, that I am, that I am, that whatever you need me to be in your mountain, in your valley, I am that. Amen. And just knowing that he is always with us in the valleys when it's hard. And honestly, the valleys is where we spend a lot of our time. But knowing also that in the mountains, at the top of the mountain, when we're at our best, he's with us. And it's all because of him. We can't take any credit for anything. It's all the Lord. And we are just so grateful to God that he loved us so much that he is who he is for us. And all we have to do is believe in him and open our hearts to what he wants and to be obedient to him. And it's such a blessing to see Pastor Sarah not only grow up physically into an awesome woman and a wife and a mother, but also to see her grow spiritually and in the word. You know, God knew that he was going to be blessing Running for Christ Ministries with Sarah, and we are truly, truly thankful for the word that she brought today. She's amazing. She always blows my mind and always blesses my life. And so I know that she has done the same for you all today. And so we truly appreciate her and the word that she brought forth today. Amen? Amen. So, yes, if you do not know what day it is, we're going to pray for you. Because it's only on Saturday where you get this kind of excitement, and besides Sunday too. But anytime we are Running for Christ Ministries, we get an in. Amen. And so happy Saturday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world. We're so grateful and thankful for all of you who have tuned in today. We hope that you have enjoyed the service. We pray that you have enjoyed the service. We pray that you have gotten something out of this service. And we're going to pray if you didn't. Amen. We just want your hearts to be open to the Lord and to accept him and all that he's done, because who wants a job where you don't get no benefits? You work, 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 and you don't get no benefits. Well, if you just believe in Jesus, the benefits, okay, Matthew 6:33, all right, just seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the benefits that you need and want and can think of will be added to you, amen? So we're so grateful and we're so thankful. So y'all know I'm here to give you some announcements, and they read as follows, amen? Sunday, September 18th, which is unbelievable. That's tomorrow already. We will have our in-person Sunday school beginning at 9 a.m. Our worship service begins at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in song and in worship. This month, we will be having the Men of God Month, amen, where each Sunday we will have a male preacher to speak to us on the man in the Bible. So Pastor Jonathan Tate has hit it out of the park the last 2 weeks. his first week speaking about Job, and then last week speaking about David. And so we will finally, once again, be graced by our amazing shepherd, amen, at Run for Christ Ministries, Pastor O, who will be bringing us the word on tomorrow. So we are looking forward to that. We know he's going to break it all the way down because we ask him to do it every single time he preaches. Amen. He has not failed us yet. So we invite you, you know, to join us for this entire month. Invite someone to come out with you. All we ask is that you wear a mask. If you don't have one, don't worry about it. We'll provide you with one. If you're not comfortable with coming out, if you just can't make it, whatever the case may be, no worries. You can also listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Just visit our church website at rfcm.org and click on Recorded Sunday. Don't forget, every Sunday, excuse me, at 4 p.m., our very own deaconess, Kathy Clyburn, will be on the Blog Talk Radio show with her own show entitled Bring Back the Family. Amen. So please do not forget to tune in and give her your support. Amen. Amen. So you all know we are in a new class. I've been announcing it for a bit over a good month now. So every Monday from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and I'm proud of Pastor because I think we might have went to like 7:02 on Monday. Every Monday from 6 to 7, we will have our church history class. Amen. The teacher is Pastor O. The textbook for the class is entitled The Church That Jesus Christ Built, and it is written by Pastor O. Amen. So you need the book to participate in the class. And so you can get your textbook one of two ways. Visit Pastor O's website, www.pastorgmo.com. That's www.pastorgodsmyownergmo.com. Or you can see Sister Sheila at church, and she will make sure that you get a book. Amen? If for whatever reason you can't attend and participate in the live classes, all of the classes will be recorded and posted on our church website weekly at www.rfcm.org. Just go to the Bible classes link and then click on History of the Christian Church Recorded at a more convenient time for you. Amen. And I just want to also interject that all of the classes and all of the services that you hear on Blog Talk Radio are recorded. They're archived and they're free. And like I say, you get your whole Christian life together for free just by listening to Blog Talk Radio, going all the way back to 2009 when it was just Pastor O for 2 hours every single day doing what the Bible says. Before all of us came in and partnered with Pastor O to help him get through what he's doing now, it was just him 2 hours every single day. I can only count on my hands twice. I can only think twice for as long as I've been listening. Pastor has only missed two times when he was doing what the Bible says. One time he was so sick, he didn't have a voice. Another time he was super sick, he might have had a voice, but he just couldn't do it. Other than that, those times don't even count because every day for years, it was Pastor O, 2 hours, what the Bible says. Amen. So you can get your whole Christian life together. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org. And you can go all the way back to 2009. Amen? Amen. Also, don't forget that on Wednesdays, we have our Bible reading classes going on here on Blog Talk Radio. Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be teaching from the book of Isaiah, chapters, I want to say, 31 to 35 this week. I think I put 21 on my paper, but in my mind, it's 30. 31 to 35 or 30 to 35. Questions are available online at rfcm.org. Click on Bible classes, or if you're in person in church on Sunday, they'll be on the back table. Y'all know what's up with the back table. All information, questions, class stuff, free stuff, all on the back table. Amen? Amen. Also on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breakers Ministry has a women's Bible class that goes on. So if you want to participate and get more information, just contact the president / teacher of the Women's Bible Class, which is Pastor Janice Tate. Amen? Amen. If you'd like to pay your tithes, give any offerings, again, rfcm.org is the place to go. Click on tithes and offerings. If you would like to give a love offering for Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, who brought us a beautiful word and an awesome breakdown of Psalm 23. Please remember to specify her name when you give your love offering, and we will see to it that they receive it. Amen. And the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with her. Amen. And Deaconess Kathy just gave me my text message that says, yes, she's teaching Isaiah 31 to 35. So I figured that, too, that I put on my email was a typo. So, yes, 31 to 35. Amen. Amen. So Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7 speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen. And Lord, we are truly looking forward to the day where we spend eternity with you. Amen. Amen. So in the meantime, in between time, we got business we got to handle here on earth. And so we need to continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Amen. Special prayers go out to Nico Gaston, Tyrone Hamilton, Deacon Rachel Rogers, all of our mothers on the move. Deaconess June did an awesome, awesome, awesome altar call today. She covered every angle of everything. And so we're so thankful for the prayer that she brought today. Continue to pray for Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia, Minister John McFall. She mentioned all of these people earlier, but you know they get special, special prayers. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're reminding everyone to just continue to pray for everyone everywhere. Let's keep all of the members at Running for Christ Ministries in our prayers, especially the ones we miss seeing on Sundays. You know, people are in valleys, and, you know, those valleys are really, really, really low places. And so we just want to make sure that we're continuing to keep everyone lifted up in prayer. If you, you know, are used to seeing somebody on Sunday and a Sunday or two goes by and you don't see them, check on them. If a person comes across your mind, call them, text them, you know, go by their house if, you know, if that's something that, you know, they're used to letting you do or whatever the case may be. People just want to be thought about, and people want to know that they're being cared about. And seeing a person on a Sunday or two, reach out to them, ask them how they're doing, check on them, see if they're okay, pray for them, and pray with them if that's what they need, because we're all here to be supportive to one another in the body of Christ. Amen. Continue to pray for our president, our vice president, all the leaders of our country. Pray for our youth. I mean, that is an understatement. Like, if you weren't praying for anything else, you need to be praying for our children, because they're the generation that's going to come behind us, and they're destroying themselves. Amen. So we have got to pray for all of our youth everywhere as they are constantly facing challenges. I mean, if I read one more article of kids fighting at schools and calling in threats, and, you know, I mean, school's been in for 3 weeks. It is exhausting for this to already be something that's going on. It's almost like it's never ending. We have to pray for our children. Amen. Continue to pray for all those who are bereaved and mourning and grieving. And I say those three words separately because they all mean something different. I have to look them up, and they go and work in conjunction with one another, but they all mean separate things. Some people are bereaved. Some people are just mourning. Some people are just grieving. Some people are two. Some people are all three. So nevertheless, continue to pray for them all the families everywhere. And we know that list is just getting longer and longer and longer every single day. So we need to continue to pray for one another. Amen? Amen. So happy, happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all over the world who celebrated their birthdays this past week. They're celebrating today, my favorite day of the week. Amen. Happy birthday to everybody at Running for Christ who is celebrating their birthday this month. Mother Persia set it off on the 2nd of this month, Pastor O's daughter Dion on the 5th, Torin on the 7th, excuse me, Deacon Oliver on the 11th, Vice Chairman Deacon Board, Deacon Charles Mackey on the 12th, Chairman of the Deacon Board, Deacon Charles Tate on the 14th, T.J. Collin on the 17th, the amazing Pastor O on the 18th. Tomorrow he gets to preach and celebrate his birthday all at the same time. Amen. Nakia celebrates her birthday on the 21st, and Deaconess Kathy closes us out with her birthday on the 22nd. So, again, happy birthday. Much love, hugs, and kisses to every single one of you. Be blessed in the Lord. Amen? Amen. So, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. So your devotional for today is entitled, With Us in the Wilderness. Amen. And it's by Jennifer Waddle. When we find ourselves walking through a season of testing, most of us want to get through it as quickly as possible. The refining of our faith is never a pleasant experience. The Israelites knew all too well what it felt like to trudge through hard times. For 40 long years, they traveled and camped and wandered, not knowing when they would reach the promised land. Perhaps that is the most painful part about the testing of our faith. We don't know how long it's going to be or how painful it's going to be. But God, amen, God in his faithfulness walks through the wilderness with us. He provides what we need to make it through. Even though it is painful, it is crucial for the purifying of our faith. Just as the refining of silver involves extreme heat that allows impurities to rise to the surface, so the testing of our hearts involves uncomfortable pressure that urges us to surrender our thoughts, motives, and actions to the perfect will of the Father. Though painful, we are never left alone in the process. The refiner doesn't put us through the fire just to stand by and watch. Stays with us while lovingly turning up the heat until we release our impurities to him. God knows our trudging through this life. He sees the trials and the hardships that come, but he doesn't stand by at a distance. He is with us and in us, providing the strength we need to endure. There is no doubt that the Israelites suffered greatly in the wilderness. What could have been a direct route ended up being a very long road to the promised land. But if the Lord would have ignored their rebellion and skipped the refining process, the impurities of their hearts would have defiled his blessing. The big question for us is, will we allow God to refine us, or will we continue to wander in the wilderness of rebellion? Let's willingly yield every impurity to him. Let's be open to the refining process, knowing that it is strengthening us and preparing us to cross over to the promised land. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not you loved. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And that is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
I'm sitting here talking about amen, amen. Jesus, like, it would be nice if people could hear that. I'm like, you know, we did it Wednesday, right? I'm sitting here listening to the Bible plan. Then I get 15 text messages say, we can't hear it. You want to share? Amen.
Well,
Lord have mercy, this Sarah, good God almighty. I mean, she took Psalm 23 and act like it was really good food on a plate and just got all of it.
Yeah, she chews it up
here.
Like the mama bird chews it up for the baby and just lets the baby just come and eat it out
you,
the mama bird's mouth.
If I was a little baby, I'd be like, I it wouldn't sound like amen. I'd sound like I'm just making noise, but I'd be a little baby in amen. And they'd be like, the baby's saying something, but I'd be like, amen.
Yes.
Lord have mercy. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
Jesus is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's why she used that word amazing so much. God Almighty, this whole service from beginning to end was all about God caring for us, even to the devotional reading, right from the beginning to the end. It was just awesome. Cadillac doing scripture and prayer, you know, and she just always so effervescent and June. You know, every time she pray, I don't close my eyes. Why? Because I be looking for heaven to do things.
Yes.
You know, she get angels.
June make you listen.
She get angels. And then Lord have mercy. The sermon was just unbelievable. She took that psalm and picked it apart. Like you said, we run right by stuff. I've read that psalm a million times. I ain't never picked it apart like that.
You hear it, you recite it, and you say it because, you know, they taught me Psalm 23 in second grade, and I just say it. And you read it even as an adult, and it doesn't even click until somebody breaks it down. Like, we got it broken down. Like, I know Janine had preached Psalm 23, and it found, you know, she brought out things that, you know, it's just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
You know what amazes me? I remember when she was sitting in my Sunday school class, she was 15, and Deaconess Naomi Carter, now Tate, right, wanted to be 15, but they were both in Sunday school, along with Pastor Terrence Tate. None of them was any of those titles yet, but they were just young folks sitting in class. But, you know, when I was listening to her, if her mother could, like they say, look over the banisters of heaven, she'd be running all over heaven talking about, "That's my baby. That's my baby girl."
For sure.
She preach that baby girl. Preach it. He's just running all over heaven. You know, I know she can't wait till they get there, you know what I'm saying, for that reunion. But I am telling you, they have really turned into somebody. I mean, you know, and I know her dad. I know her dad just cannot believe that's the girl that grew up in my house. I'm going to have to check her out. I don't think she had been changed. Something happened over there. Amen. I thank God for her husband. Her husband is like Dave Myers. He allows her to be who God called her to be and supports her in every kind of way. And you know them kids is blessed. But I'm just kind of happy, Crystal. I'm running over. I'm happy. Pastor, I am happy. It's unbelievable what God is doing with all you guys.
Absolutely.
You know,
changed, and we're like, wait, Jesus, hold on, we didn't ask for none of this. How wait? But then the time has gone on, and you look back, and you're like, hey, Lord, it's been 10 years, and now you're like, wow, how you brought us from there to here. It's truly amazing because I don't think none of us asked for this. Honestly, we didn't.
I was like, Jesus, I ain't doing this by myself. They look like help to me.
No.
I am not doing this by myself. They look like good. Oh, and look what it turned out. Look how it turned out.
Yes.
Sheila
awesome.
And I could
so
be
awesome.
All the way out of town and everything would just keep going just like it is because, amen, Jesus have really blessed Running for Christ Ministries with some awesome folks. Jesus hitting me all upside the head talking about I'm over. But it's Sarah's fault because it's Kathy's fault. She started it. Yeah.
Yep.
It's
all of them.
Kathy,
all of them.
June, and Sarah.
Yep.
But we forgive them, Crystal, because we're awesome like that. Plus, it's your fault, too, because you got a little awesome, too. So I'm the only one innocent here, Jesus. The rest of us is awesome.
Yeah, right.
I'm the only innocent one here, Jesus. Lord, have mercy.
Oh, Jesus, help. Help, Lord, help.
And I'm the only one left. I'm like Elijah. Lord Jesus, everybody else in church against you. I'm the only one on earth that's serving you. Jesus, like, dude, I got 7,700 people right
Cut
around the way. Come on,
right.
Doc.
Stop.
Come on,
stop.
Son.
Come on, son.
Okay, Sarah, we forgive Kathy, Sarah, and June for all this,
Amen.
They started. Tell me, are we saying what's up?
I shall. Amen.
Be blessed, Crystal, and thank you again.
All right. Yeah, you're welcome.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you, and amen. Be sure, Christian History coming up, I already sent out class number 2. okay, it's Jesus, the preparation. It's the preparation paper and the questions that go with it. Okay, so be ready for Tuesday. Looking forward to tomorrow. I'll be talking about Peter, the disciple slash apostle. So come on out tomorrow and learn about a very interesting man. I had no idea he did as much as he did, but there's over 40-some-odd places in the Gospels and Acts where Peter shows up prominently. And we'll go off the pages of the Bible and discuss how he left this world to go be with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, amen. God bless you. God keep you. Thank you, everybody who had anything to do with this service. And, yes, I'm talking to you because you had something to do with it, too. And we're going to end with a song by Dietrich Haddon, and it's called My Resting Place. Again, thank you, Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, for that excellent work on Psalm 23.
Lord, you're my resting place.
Amen. Amen. Remember that he is our resting place, not them, that, or that other thing. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen. God bless you. God keep you.